to be able to come in and give your testimony in the jail. And sure enough, I said, sure, I'll come in there. But I said, listen, I'm only going to do this one time. Maybe I'll do it once in a while. That is it. And so probably my fourth or fifth time in there, I was sitting in the parking lot. We just got out, and I was just gushing the tears, man, snot running. I realized, my goodness, God wants me in this jail. I need to be in there. And God just said, Dale, I need you to go in here and be with these people. I said, Lord, I'll go. I'll go, as Hebrews 13:3 says, be with those that are in bonds, as those that are in bonds. And so I know what it's like to be in there with them. And I thank God for what he's done, but I didn't realize that he was going to move and open doors the way he has moved and opened doors. And I thank him, and he gets all the glory for it. And I also thank my wife, because, man, she is a helpmeet. Okay, she has been such a blessing to my life. She put up with a lot as me as an unsaved person. She used to pray that the Lord would kill me. She couldn't be with me anymore. She just didn't know what to do. She didn't want to divorce me. So she'd pray at night and say, Lord, I love him. I can't handle it no more. Therefore, you go ahead and take him out. And well, the Lord did something better. He saved me and gave her a new husband. Okay, gave my children a dad. Now, I'm not perfect. I don't walk on water. Bullets don't bounce off of my chest. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Okay, I got God's mercy in my life, and that's the only reason why I stand here. It's not because of anything I can do. It's because Jesus Christ now lives in me and has changed my life. And so with that, I've asked the pastor, there's information in the back about Liberty Behind Bars. Pastor has it. I put it on his desk. He probably doesn't know it because he hasn't went in there yet. But I left some brochures and stuff. But I talked to him last night because the Lord's opening doors in the ministry. We have, not only do we go in and visit in the jails, but we've also started a devotional. The Lord gives me a message, brother. I put it out. My wife puts it on paper. And then we send it out. Right now we're working in three different states. Federal prisons, state prisons, jails in three different states Alabama, Pennsylvania. We have some in here, quite a bit in New York. Matter of fact, in Monroe County, we have a couple guys that we're already hooked up with. We've been as far as California with the devotional and everything else. So the Lord's getting it out there. And what that devotional is when that door closes at lockdown time at 11 o'clock at night, that gives them something to get in there and do. Okay? Because it will drive you crazy when that door closes at night. Your conscience will eat you apart. Yeah. It will just tear your life apart. And most of the time, you're not going to think of anything good. And it's just going to eat you alive. And this is where most people become suicidal, because I remember the days of being in there. I remember the nights when that door would close and I'd hear that loud clicking over and over and over and over again. And I would go, I'm going into the insane asylum right now. Here's my time that I'm going to start going crazy. And I remember that. And I remember the Lord putting that devotional on my heart and saying, send it to these people. And it's growing exponentially. It's growing. And I thank God that he could use that. And I just thank God that he's been able to get us in contact. The word of mouth is getting out there. And so we got another one the Lord put on my heart. Again, there's information. It's called the Pen Pal Ministry. And with this Pen Pal Ministry, that gives you the opportunity to partner up with Liberty Behind Bars and be an encouragement to somebody. Now, you read the rules here, they have to be adhered to, and I mean it has to be strict. You guys cannot exchange names, cannot exchange what state you're from, cannot, nothing on either side. You will not know that person's name, that person will not know your name. They will not know what county you're from, what state you're from, where you live, anything. None of it. If you were to do this, when you write, dear friend, dear pen pal, whatever. It cannot have any kind of names. If you give a testimony, know where you're from, none of it. So what happens is, you join this, you sign this saying that you'll do exactly what's on this paper. It's for the safety of you, your family, and those inmates. That's a serious matter. Then, after that, if you were to get into this, you would send us your letter, your card, whatever it is. You would send that letter to us at Liberty Behind Bars. Send an email, okay, or you can send it to the snail mail. We will get it, and we'll have to go through it. I have to go through it, or otherwise they will shut it down in the prisons and jails. They will not allow me to continue to do this if I don't abide by what they ask me to do. So that's why I say it has to come to us. Now, if it got big enough, we could find somebody in each church that could take that responsibility on, because it would save people stamps. Okay, it would save you money. But if you're not willing to spend 55 cents to encourage somebody, it gets pretty sad. That's the reality. gets pretty sad if you can't spend 55 cents to encourage somebody. I remember sitting in those jail cells and what I would have done to get a piece of mail, to know that somebody cared for me. Because at this point, a lot of people don't even have family in their life. They burn those bridges. They've destroyed every single thing in their life. They have nothing. This is why I used to have hate tattooed on my knuckles. Now I have hope there. Why? Because it's the hope of Jesus Christ. This may bring hope to somebody by your encouragement. It may show them that Jesus Christ does care for them, that this, not everything, not the whole entire world has not turned on them, that there are people out there who care, who are at least praying for them, okay? And so I left the information back there. If you want to get into it, that'd be wonderful. If not, I understand, but just pray on it. That's what I ask people, if you would just at least pray on it and see what the Lord would do, how he would lead you. And so, again, in Rochester here, it blows me and my wife's mind, the doors that have been opened here, the jails and stuff that we've been in have been very restrictive. I mean, horribly restrictive. One day, if they want to let you in an hour, they'll let you in an hour. I mean, they kick you out. All these other churches, just lambasting us. They just couldn't stand us. They make phone calls to get us kicked out of there. Right now, I'm not allowed in the jail. Hopefully, I'll get back in that jail in sometime in April. I mean, it's been a huge battle. And to come here and see what the opportunity that Monroe County offers has been unbelievable. And so just pray for Liberty Behind Bars as we go into that venture. And I think the Lord's going to use it. There's a lot going on. We've become a 501c3, and we've done that because eventually the Lord has given me a vision out of Isaiah chapter 4, verse 6, to open up homes for these people. Because I remember getting sentenced by Judge McCarthy when he sentenced me to my 5 years in prison my last time in Buffalo. And I remember him telling me this. He said, Dale, this is what I need you to do. I need you to take those 5 years, and I need you to go in prison. And I need you to come out and learn, go in there and learn how to be a productive member of society. What is that? I was being a productive member of my society, okay? But your society, I have no clue what that is. You're asking me to go in there and just, okay, I'll go do that. So I went and took the 5 years and I programmed myself to death. And about 3 years in, I just remember sitting back and saying, you know what? I've learned how to become a better inmate. Not a member of society. I don't know how to become that. 2 years after that, I get out, and guess what? I did not learn anything. All those programs that I did and everything, all the classes that I took and so on and so forth, who's going to show me how to use them now? I'm out there on my own. The judge just told me 5 years ago that I had to learn how to be a productive member of society. How do I do that? I had nobody to teach me. Had nobody to reach out to. The churches today, when they get a jail ministry and you get out, that's it. You're done. They don't reach out to you. They don't try to get you to come to church, nothing. There I am on my own. How do I learn to become a productive member of society? And I remember the Lord showed me that again not too long ago, about a year ago. And this is where the vision out of Isaiah chapter 4, verse 6 comes out of, a place of refuge. A place for these guys to come and be able to transition from that type of lifestyle into a Christian member of society. How to become that productive member of society. And that's where we need to step in. That's where the Lord has opened that door for me and says, Dale, this is what I need you to do. And it's taking us time. So that's why we've gotten the 501c3 going and all that. Because this is going to take time and it's going to take support of the churches. It's going to take a lot of prayer. And I need you guys' prayer for this. Because I know without a shadow of a doubt, this is what the Lord have us to do. But it can't be done humanly. There's a lot of opposition out there. Because they like to keep people sick. They like to keep people trapped in it. God does not want them trapped in it anymore. God doesn't want them to be in that. I know that because I came from that lifestyle. God didn't want me there, but there's not enough people out there to show us how to get out of it. So just pray for Liberty Behind Bars. You know, I want to share a little something with you if I could. I'll take a few minutes here and then I'll get out of the way. If you would turn with me to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. I want to read that. Proverbs chapter 20. It's funny. Pastor Hector asked me yesterday, how'd you feel about preaching? I had brought a message with me. For whatever reason, the Lord put on my wife's heart, my heart, maybe just bring something. And I knew what to bring immediately. I already had it printed out in my Bible with me, okay? And so we're going to go to Proverbs 20 at verse 27. And we're going to read here, and it's just interesting what the Lord has showed me on this. It's an interesting study. What I was doing a study on the word candle. I like doing word studies. And so I'll just pick a word, and I'll go through the Bible, and I'll look at it in every verse in context. And I got a message out of this, and that's usually how I get my messages. But anyway, the word candle is in your Bible 56 times. And it's a very interesting word, okay? And I like to do word studies because it just opens the door. And this is where this came from. And it says the spirit of man. Notice that's a small s spirit. Okay? There's a reason for that. It's a personal spirit. Okay? God says here, it says the spirit of man is the candle of what? Of the Lord. Searching all the inward parts of the belly. How about that? So when a man is born or a woman is born, God instills a spirit inside of us and it's a candle. And that candle is going to be used for something. It's a tool that God can use and only God can use to show a lost person or even a Christian their ways. And it says here, God in his mercy put a spirit in each and every one of us as a tool for God. Listen, let me make this straight. God doesn't put that spirit or that light inside of us to show so he can see what's in us and so we can see what's in us. You see, we're blind to see what's in us. We're blind to see a lot of things. I sat in a church for 4 years lost. I mean, I sat in that pew and I was lost and I knew I was lost. Because I would say, hey, you know, I'm being diligent. Why hasn't God rewarded me with salvation? Why can't I get saved? And I just remember the Lord having to strip away all that jailhouse religion and all that religion that I held onto every time I went into a jail or a prison. I remember him having to strip that all off of me. And why? Because he was in there with that candle and he was trying to show me the inward, the most deepest parts of me that just wouldn't allow any human being in. And he was trying to get in there and show that to me and open it up to me. And I remember the night I got saved. And I was sitting in the pew and that evangelist was preaching and I was just turned inside out. I just didn't know what to do anymore. I said, something's got to give. And I ran out of the building. Legitimately, I ran out of the building. I told my wife, let's go now. And I got all the way home. And I fell on my face in front of my couch. And the Lord showed me, Dale, you've been a rebel against a holy God. And I never seen that. I didn't see it because of my religion. And I didn't see it because I always was holding on to that I was a rebel against man. I knew I was a lawbreaker. But you see, nobody ever took the time to show me that, no, it's not what I've done against man or it's not what man has done against me. It's what I've done against a holy God that was going to grip my heart and make me saved that night. And I've been saved ever since. And thank God my life has changed. Amen. Changed so dramatically. Sometimes I sit back and go, what happened? How did the 40 years they were dumping pills down my throat. 40 years they were programming me to death. 40 years I was trapped in mental hospitals and everything else. 40 years and the world couldn't touch me. In one single minute, Jesus Christ stepped in my life and transformed my whole life. Amen. Woo! I almost did backflips if I could have. I told him, I said, I'm going. It's probably 11 o'clock at night, somewhere around. I said, I'm going out there to street preach. There's nobody out there. I'll go just preach to the stars then. I was so excited about getting saved. I just remember my conscience being clean. I could sleep for the first time in my life. The pills just started coming off. I wasn't no longer on any of those pills anymore, keeping me sick. But you know what it took? It took God to shine that candle in me. And it was painful. It was not easy for me to see what I was. And I would always, oh no, I can't see that, brother. That can't be. Oh yeah. And God would like that. No. You see, this is where people are caught in that cycle. Every time God tries to show them something about themselves, they want to blow that candle out. They don't want to see it because it's painful. It hurt. It hurt me to come to that. But I liken that to a child who's stuck in the birth canal. Everybody goes, yeah, that mother's in a lot of pain, but that baby's in more pain. And I was stuck in that birth canal of salvation. I was stuck there and I just couldn't get out. I couldn't find a way. I couldn't go back. There was no way back. I can't go back there. I got to get out of this thing. Lord, how can I get out of this thing? Let me show you what I need to show you, Dale. Let me light it up. And I remember me lighting it up, and I remember getting saved that night. And I remember being delivered. And I took the deepest breath I ever had in my entire life. I slept with no sleeping pills, no alcohol, no nothing. Anger, like you wouldn't believe in a person. Oh, my poor wife suffered a horrible anger. My wrath, she suffered my wrath. My children suffered my wrath. And I remember just, I'm never going to get a grip on this anger. I've had psychiatrists tell me there's no hope for me. I don't know what other medicine I could put you on. There's nothing else. I'm already on 19 pills a day. Almost 300 pounds. Suicidal. I just don't want to live anymore. Uncontrollable anger. I just don't know what to do. I was so afraid. I was so afraid I would shake at night and sweat. I don't want to hurt nobody. Please don't let me hurt anybody. I would be so afraid. Please, I need money. I got to go out and rob somebody. And I would just sit on the edge of my bed. And I'd be sitting up, Amy sleeping. I'd say, I don't want to go rob nobody. But what am I going to do? I have to go do something. That night after I got saved, something happened. I can't tell you 100%. But I remember waking up the next day being able to recognize that I was getting angry and I could stop it. For the first time in my life, I could control myself. I wasn't afraid that I was going to hurt anybody. Shortly after that, they took me off of Social Security. They had me on Social Security because I was really mentally crazy. They took me off of Social Security, and guess what? The Lord had to open that door for me to go to work. I've been working ever since. The Lord showed me I need to go take care of my family. Now, I can't get real good jobs. I started cleaning at McDonald's. Started cleaning toilets. Where I started off. Okay. Within 2 years, I was the manager of McDonald's. Let me go to the bank with $10,000 cash in my hand. I called my wife crying one day. She goes, "What is wrong?" I said, "I didn't even think about taking any of it." How about that? But you know what that took? It took that light, that candle from the Lord to be able to shine in the inward parts of me and show me what I really was. And I had to stop blowing that thing out, and that he was going to have to get in there, and he was going to have to show me that thing, and I was going to have to let that candle stay lit, and his light was going to have to shine my inward parts. Amen. Otherwise, we would have been in the same position that we've always been. And I thank God. Let me show you something here. It says that he shines in searching the inward parts of the belly, the deepest, most inner part of our feeling. And let me just say this. The world and its system and their medical and their mental health systems can only numb people's conscience. It's not helping them. I see the cycle over and over and over again. And these people are in mental hospitals. They're out of mental hospitals. They're in rehabs. They're out of rehabs. They're in jails. They're out of jails. And here's what happens. They're coming. They're trying to come. And the people in jail, all the poor people are so trapped because they're always trying to come to Jesus Christ with their issues. You know, the woman with the issue of blood, she had an issue of blood. What'd she do? She came to Jesus with the issue. Read the next verse down when Jesus Christ heals her. He doesn't heal her of her issues. He heals over a plague. You see, people got to stop coming to Jesus Christ with their issues. They need to go to him with the plague, but they can't see it. Jesus Christ did not say anything about, hey, the medical doctors, those that are in mental hospitals, those who are in rehabs, those who are taking care of the people in jail, all they can do is try to deal with the issues. They can't get to the plague. Only God can get to that plague. And it's going to take the light of that in him, the light inside that person, for him to be able to expose that plague. You see, the world puts a person on medicine or whatever else, and they leave that root in there. Jesus Christ doesn't leave that root. Do you ever go dig a root up? You know that hurts, that tree? There's pain when you remove that root. You see, when people start today, they start feeling a little bit of pain. My pastor told me, Dale, start facing that thing. You know what I had to do, brother? I had to man up and start facing it. And when I started doing that, I started realizing, my goodness, God's been trying to show me this all along, and I just could not see it. Just like that woman with the issue of blood, I kept running to the physicians. Kept running to the drugs. Kept running to the alcohol. And you know what it says? I spent all that I had only to become worse. Because here's what I'm doing. I'm going to jail. I'm going to mental hospitals. I'm going to all those places. And I'm trying to go to them with my issues. And they would put a Band-Aid on it. Jesus Christ comes by, Brother Hector, and he rips that bandage off. And he squeezes that pus out of there. And he gets that infection out of there. And then guess what? He heals that plague. That's what he does. But you know what the problem is? It's too painful for people to look at today. So therefore, they'll sit lost in a church pew, die and go to hell. They'll sit lost in jailhouse religion and die and go to hell. Because it's too painful to look what God needs to show them. God wants to show them that. He's a merciful God when he does that to a person. He's doing it out of love because he wants to love that person. He wants to be able to draw nigh unto that person. He doesn't want to just draw close to a person. You know, many Christians today, they live close to God. And God gets sick of it. It says, draw nigh unto me and I'll draw nigh unto you. You know why people can't draw nigh unto God? Because there's always something in between them and God. God's got to remove that thing out of the way. Otherwise, that Christian is always going to live close the rest of their life. And I get trapped in that. I get trapped in living close to God. And then God has to show me, Dale, you can't draw a nine. Why, God, why can't I draw a nine to you? Because of this. I got to get that. Oh, you're right. We got to get that out of the way. Lord, forgive me. Let me get that out of the way. Now we can draw a nine. Lord, I'm going to draw a nine to you now. You said you'll draw a nine to me. Will you do that? Yes, I will. He's God. And I have a heart, man, for inmates like you wouldn't believe. That's my calling. I know for sure. That's my burden. Those people are my burden. Pastor Hector, these are his people. God has given me a people. They are my burden. I know my wife is like, well, we're going to be driving an hour and a half. Good. I'll drive 10 hours if that's what it takes. You go ahead and let a jail open up to me somewhere. I will drive there. I won't have a problem with it because I remember those times that I wish that somebody would have done that for me. I remember sitting there alone by myself saying, why can't somebody come and say, why won't somebody help me? Why was I left there for all those years? You see, jail ministries, a lot of them are just that. Well, you got to see our new logo that my wife came up with. It says, Liberty Behind Bars and Beyond Ministry. I don't want to work with them just while they're incarcerated. Because it's more help when they're out. They need more help when they come out than they do in. We can establish a relationship with them while they're in there. We can form a foundation while we're in there with them. But when they step out is when they need somebody to say, all right, let's go. Remember, these guys are institutionalized, these men and women. They need somebody. You go, you can't grab somebody by their hand and walk them. Oh, yeah, you can. Them inmates need that. Those people need it, trust me. They'll be okay with it. They've been programmed to death. We got to show them that it's beyond a program. We got to show them that it's not just a ministry. They need to see something more than what they've already seen. I ran into a lot of religious people being in jail and prison. A lot. And I didn't see one of those when I got out. Not one of them came looking for me. Not one of them put their hand out to come and help me. And I know the Lord has given me that vision. Dale, that's where you need to step in. Somebody to stand in that gap between them and God. Somebody who's going to be willing to put themselves out there for those people. That's what needs to happen. I don't know how I got on that, but I hope you enjoyed it. Thank God for it, right? Yes, that's right. God is so good to us. Jeremiah 17, 9, 10, it teaches us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know that old nasty heart? We think, oh yeah, I know my heart. And God says, no, you don't. I do. Because the things that we want to skirt around, the things we don't want to look at, God's trying to show us that. He wants us to see it. What a wonderful God. Verse 10 says this in Jeremiah 17. He says, I, the Lord, search the heart. Uh-oh. This is where the trouble starts with people, okay? Whether they're saved or unsaved, when God starts revealing those things, and I remember sitting in the pew with my pastor or evangelist coming in, they would preach the word of God. I mean, it would just tear me off the frame. I said, you gotta be kidding me. That can't be. There's things that God would show me that even my wife to this day has no clue about, and I go, oh my, oh. Why? Because it says here when the preaching's going on, it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. You know, he doesn't just look at the heart and want to show you, but he says, I try the rein. You guys know what reins are? It steers an animal. Well, God wants to show you why your heart thinks that way. He doesn't want to just show you why what's in your heart, but he wants to show you why it does that. Why does it think that way? Why does it get angry? Why does it choose to sin? And God wants to show that to you. You can, oh yeah, I see that sin. But then God says, no, let me take it a step further. I want to show you why. Oh no, I can't. No. I don't want to see those reins. All right, God, you showed me that, but that's enough. I don't want to go any farther. He says, no. Now I'm going to show you. You see what's in your heart. Now let me show you why your heart does that. That's what it says there. It says he tries the reins. Even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. And it's not until we get that vision, it's not until we see what God has been trying to show us, will it ever light the inward parts. There are people, sadly today, we travel around enough to know that there are so many people who are sitting in church pews lost and going to go die and go to hell because they refuse to see what God wants to show them. So many people today they've turned to religion. And that's what they hold on to with all their might. I thank God that God, through his searching, through him showing me why the things I do, brought me to a place of contrition. What is that? Psalm 51:17 says the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken heart. Everybody in jail and prison has a broken spirit and a broken heart. You think they're happy about being there? But you know why they have a broken heart and a broken spirit? Because it's something they did against man. Something they did to break that law. They have no contrition. Contrition is an absolute deep sorrow for what you did against the holy God. That's what's missing today in American salvation. Nobody's coming to that place of contrition. They're sorry for what was done to them, and they're sorry for what they have done to others, but they are not sorry for what they've done against the holy God. There is no sorrow for what they've done against God.
Amen.
And until we get contrition in them, until they can see that, they will not get saved. I'm not going in there to be a ministry. I'm going to go in there and preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I want them to be tore out the frame. I want them to come to that place of godly sorrow. You know, the Bible talks about there's a godly sorrow. And it's not the sorrow that is of this world. What's the sorrow of this world work? Death. Both spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally. But then there's a different sorrow. It's a godly sorrow. It's one that's going to show that person, whoa! It's going to bring healing. It's going to bring a changed life. It's going to bring salvation. It's going to bring repentance. It's going to bring them to a place that they've never been before. They're going to have what the Bible calls being made free, not set free. I got tired of being set free my whole life. NIVs, ESVs, and all those other things tell you that you're going to be set free. That King James Bible says he's going to make me free. And you know what the difference is? I already have these made, so I can set them there because they're already in existence. But to be made free means he's going to give me something that I never had up until that moment of salvation.
Amen.
It's what it gave me. For the first time in my life, I wasn't set free. I was made free. I never had that before. By God's grace, I want to go into Monroe County Jail and I want to preach being made free because I know they're tired of being set free by this system and by this world. Jesus Christ says, you know the truth and the truth will make you free.
That's
what it says. Either they're going to believe that or not. You know, a lot of the problem is they don't believe. How about the guy in Mark chapter 9 brings his son to get the devil's cast out of him? Jesus Christ don't even deal with the boy. He deals with the father. Now the guy knew to come to Jesus because he's heard what Jesus can do. He's probably seen those that were healed. And Jesus Christ asked the disciples, what's going on here? Why couldn't you cast him out? And the father says, my son, he's always in the fire, he's foaming, the devils are always tearing at him. The father, so Jesus says, what would you like me to do? And I'm paraphrasing, so what would you like me to do? He says, if thou canest. There's the doubt. If thou canest? That's how people are coming to Jesus today. Well, Lord, if you can forgive me. Well, if you can give me a new life. If this is really the Bible. If this is really the Word of God. And wonder why they're in the same position that father is. If thou canest, thou can make him whole. And Jesus, I believe, has a smart tone about himself when he answers back. You know what he says to him? If thou canest believe. All things are possible to them that believe. If thou canst believe. If thou canst believe. All things are possible to them that believe. How about that? He didn't say, if thou canst trust. You're not going to get a gang member to trust you in anything. You're not going to get him to trust that Bible for salvation until they come to that place of belief. That's a fact. And I'm just going to say this. I think you might, guys, have heard me say this. There's not one time in your Bible will ever tells you to trust Jesus Christ for your salvation, ever. It's always belief. Always. That's where we have to attack it. We got to go in there, and I don't expect them to trust the Bible. I don't expect them to trust what I have to say until I can get them to believe this Bible is real, that this Bible, this God that this Bible is talking about is real. They have to come to that belief. And then you know what happens? The man stands there after Jesus Christ challenges him. He says, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. He knew that he believed because he heard the stories of Jesus Christ. He's seen the miracles. But it was all here. How did he know to go to Jesus Christ for that? He knew that. And that's what today we have in our churches is people holding on to that belief here. And the man says, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Guess what happens in the next verse? The boy gets healed. The deliverer. Why? Because let me just say this, folks. If you're a mom and dad in here, you have unbelief, you're going to pass that on to your children. And Jesus Christ wants to teach you to believe so that you can teach that to your children. I'm almost done here. Let me say this, though. For many years, when I came out of prison for the last time, and I had a jailhouse religion, there's no question. I was going to Buffalo City Mission, and I was preaching in City Mission. I would stand on street corners, street preaching and everything. I was lost. Say, how can that happen? Because I didn't believe what I thought I believed. That's a fact. I didn't believe what I thought I believed. God would challenge my heart in that Bible when that preacher was going on, and I would just blow it off. And I would continually do that. And I would sit there and I would tell my wife, don't you worry about a thing, Amy. Don't you worry about that. You just go ahead and wipe that out of your... Don't you worry about that. I almost sent my own wife to hell. You know what she said? She goes, you know, when I got saved in the bedroom, I told her after preaching was going on at a special meeting, I said, you got to go in the room. Go get saved. I don't go. Miserable. Being tore at the fast. I can't. You go in that bedroom and you get with God until you get saved. Go in that room. I mean, it was brutal. She was, yeah, I know she's all nice now. It's what you think. Amy? Yeah, Amy. Hey, I'll just tell you, when a person comes under conviction, man, something starts happening to them. They turn into like an exorcist or something, you know? Anyway, I said, go get in that room until you get it right with the Lord. I don't know how long she was in there. Maybe an hour or two. I don't remember. She came out and she said, I got saved. I mean, she was just snotting. I said, oh, thank God. I said, you know, what was it that, you know, you got saved? She said, I just didn't think that God could love somebody like me. Now, she grew up on the total opposite side of the track. She grew up in a good home, rich family. Catholic. How could she not understand love? She understood human love perfectly. She didn't understand what godly love was. She understood a religious love that would come through religion. But she didn't understand a love that God, that Jesus Christ, she didn't understand what that was. God had to deal with her on that. You see, today we're trying to wipe that stuff over with people and tell them, no, you don't have to listen to that. Yes, listen. Jesus Christ says there's a salvation that we can know, not guess. And thank God that the Bible told me here to search out that your own, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why would it tell me to do that? It needs to be. My friends, it's this way. There's more there about this whole light thing. I'm not going to get to it. But that candle needs to be able to have the freedom to light our inward parts. Even if, as a safe person, there are things in our life that God wants us to see. But, you know, sometimes we can close that thing out. I remember probably, and I'm going to close with this. I remember probably about a year and a half ago, something came up in my life that I thought I was done dealing with. But God knew in my heart that really wasn't quite dealt with yet. We had to go back to it. But there was other things that had precedence, other things that needed to be taken care of that God in His love and mercy helped me get out of. But then we came back to this, and let me just say, it was hard. It was something that I would have never in my life thought would have come back up to me. And I realized, this is when I did this study, that God was trying to light that candle inside of me one more time to show me that thing that I had buried so far deep inside of me that I did not want to face. And I've been in this battle now by what, a year? Year and a half I've been in this battle. And God has still had that candle lit inside my heart, and He's still showing me, oh my goodness, what is it going to take, Lord? And I remember the Lord telling me, Dale, you don't hate it enough to get rid of it. Yes, I do, Lord. Here, take it. Hang on. Let me hang on to that minute. No, here, you take it. No, that situation comes back up. I pull it back. No, hang on. You're right, Lord. I'm not ready. Here, no, Lord, you take it. No, you're not ready for that. How many times do we get in that battle where we say, Lord, I really am ready to get rid of this. I really don't. I can't take it anymore. Within the next 24 hours, that situation comes up and we're right back in it. You're right, Lord. I'm not ready for it. I believe a saved person has to come to that place of contrition as well. Contrition isn't just for a lost person. That deep sorrow for what is wrong with you, that deep sorrow for what's going on inside of you doesn't happen just to a lost person. We need that as a saved person to come to that point where we absolutely come to a perfect hatred for that thing. Before we'll walk out of it and never turn back into it again. There are things in my life that the Lord has brought me to absolute hatred for that I will not go back to by His grace. But you know what it took? It took for me to come to that point of absolute hatred for that thing. It took for that candle to light the inward parts of my belly. And that's not talking about my stomach, because that'd take a lot of light. It's talking about your innermost feelings. That thing that we have closed off that only the Spirit of God will ever touch. That's why He's put it in there. Not a physician, not a doctor, not a medicine, not a drug, not anything will ever, ever touch it. If you read the book of John, it says that and I'm going to close with this. It says that light lighteth every man that ever enters into the world. Pastor, nobody can ever say Jesus never put that in me, because it says that He's lit in everyone that's ever been born. The problem is, we keep blowing that candle out. Pastor, I'm done.